Oh, I'm driven insane by this.
I don't really like this place.
Thanks for joining us for the first episode of 2026 and the start of season 7 for us. Holy shit.
I know. Crazy.
That is insane.
I know. It's not 7 years, but it's seven seasons.
Seven seasons. Yeah. It's not 7 years. It's 6 years.
Has it been 6 years?
We started
in 2022, I think. Oh. We got the idea in December of 2021, okay. But I think our first episode came out.
4 years.
Yeah.
I was close.
Is that right?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
I don't remember.
I don't either.
That's a long time.
That's a long time.
I can't remember this morning.
I know. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're back.
I know you've been waiting for us. This week, we discussed the episode, Am I Crazy?, which originally aired on November 11th, 2021. Amy, since this was your pick, do you want to tell us why you chose it?
I sure will. Was it 2021? 2011.
What did I say?
2021.
Oh my gosh. No.
I'm like, 11th. That couldn't have been up season
2011.
One.
2011. 2011. 2011 is what I said in my mind.
Yeah.
I don't know why you guys didn't hear that.
I'm surprised I didn't.
I have to do everything for this podcast.
God.
I'm the only reason the lights are still on.
That's right. Well, there they go.
Oh. Okay.
This was a recommendation from our listener, Brandy. She sent us a message through our website, which you can do. If you go onto the website, you'll see a little, our video's glitching. It was probably doing that the whole time and we couldn't see it because we weren't looking. If this episode doesn't have a video version, this is why.
Yeah.
So this was from Brandy, and she left a message on our website. You can do that by just going to theactivitycontinues.com. And if you look below on the bottom right, there's a little icon of a microphone. Mm-hmm. And you tap on that, and it will let you either speak if you're, you know, on your phone or you got a microphone on your computer. You can speak something into it, or you can just type something either way to send us a message. And that's how Brandy did it.
Yay! Brandy.
And so Brandy gets a shout out. Thank you, because this was a good episode. Girl. I liked it.
What a girl she would be.
Such a fine girl.
My life, my love, my I'm sorry, Brandy. I'm sure that's never happened. You've never heard that song before. Not a once.
I listen to SiriusXM Yacht Rock, so I hear that song a lot.
I love that song. That is one of my favorite songs. It's very underrated.
Yep. Another way to recommend an episode for us would be to just send us an email at theactivitycontinues.com.
Yes.
Sorry, theactivitycontinues@gmail.com.
I didn't even catch that. At .com.
You know, you figure it out.
Yep. You guys are smart, you know.
Yeah, anyway. The other thing you can do is go to our spreadsheet that we have listed all of the episodes that we have not covered yet. Look for your favorite episode, put a little comment in there and with your name, and we will cover it and we will give you a shout out. And
just like we just did to Brandy.
Yep, like we just did. Mm-hmm. And if you don't see the episode there, it's because we've already covered it or it's unavailable to us.
Yes.
So we have to give a shout out to our new patrons, Katie and Sharon.
What?
Yay, Katie and Sharon.
Thank you. Welcome. We love you.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
We love to start the new year out with some reviews. Mm-hmm. So please give us some reviews. You can do that on our website. On the top of the site, there's a link to reviews. Or you can do it on Apple Podcasts, which is actually more helpful to us.
It is.
By the way, sadly. If you want to do that. Please be nice. If you don't like us, then don't. Don't say I don't like you. We're sensitive souls. And if you say that, we will probably cry.
Yeah.
So please don't say that. Please just say,
nice things.
Just move along. You know, we're not for everyone. We're not everyone's cup of tea. And we know that. Please be nice. If you can't be nice, at least be funny.
That's right.
Don't be mean.
If we get a review, that's not great, but it's funny. We'll still talk about it.
Look,
we'll still put it out there.
I appreciate a good, you know, a good razzing.
Yeah.
Good roasting, yeah, if you will. Just, you know, just don't be mean to be mean.
If you will. I'm actually recording this on my phone because I want to show that it's glitching.
Oh, okay.
So that's what I'm doing.
I thought you just wanted
a
video of me forever.
Well, I have a lot of videos.
That's true. I did send you a bunch last night.
You did?
Of me singing.
Oh, right.
I got a
karaoke once, and I did the lighter.
I know you did. I appreciate
it. A lighter.
So, also, would love to increase our YouTube presence. We used to get a lot of views on the YouTube, and now we don't get as many. So, we would really, really like to reach a goal of 500 followers this year, so that we can use some enhanced features that are on the platform. So, if you're not already subscribed to YouTube, please go over, subscribe, and help us out there. Our 2026 goal is 500 subscribers. So, please help us.
Please.
Thank you so much.
If you guys aren't watching the video version, you're really missing some faces that Megan's making.
I'm making some good ones.
So we hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, content warnings. But no murder.
No. Nope.
There's not. This is a very tame episode.
Potential murder.
But it's not grisly. About it. No. I mean, so I would say there's really no warnings.
Yeah.
All that to say no warnings.
All that to say you're fine.
I should have been a politician.
I am freaked out about
what
the camera is doing.
You're going to have to tell me if it did this the whole time, because we weren't it wasn't up on the screen because we were reading
our notes.
Yeah,
because we were reading from it.
So Amy will have to let me know if it was glitching, because it is glitching a lot.
Glitching a lot. Well, I'm using an older camera because I'm using one that has a wider base, so it can fit both of us in. So anyway, thank you, everybody.
Enjoy. Welcome.
Welcome, everybody. We're back, and we are recording at my house.
What?
Uh-huh. Look at my beautiful bookcase. Just kidding. Yeah. It's a Temu tapestry, so don't light it.
No,
light any
she's
fires
read
or anything.
All those books multiple times. Yeah. There's notes in the margins. She keeps trying to get me to read them, and I'm like, Amy, I just don't have the time.
No, well, nor would you understand it, because it's all in AI gibberish.
Yeah, so. And she's like, this is my Encyclopedia Britannica. Yeah. For those of you who don't know, that is a very old reference.
Used to have a lot of stuff in it. Now it's all on the internet.
They used to go door to door and sell you volumes.
Yeah.
Or you could buy the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's a Friends episode where Joey bought the volume V. Because that's all he could afford. And so he kept trying to sneak snippets of the V into the conversation. Like, let's talk about Mount Vesuvius. And everyone was like, what the fuck, Joey? But they didn't say that because he knows. But that's what they were
thinking. That's what they were thinking.
They were thinking.
They were saying that in here where it counts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway.
So, yes, we are at Amy's.
We're at my house. It's a Sunday afternoon.
She made me a delightful cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It is delicious.
Yeah. I have a Nespresso maker that I didn't think I needed. But when my Keurig died, Greg bought it for me. As I told him I wanted a Keurig.
Yeah.
And he got me that instead. Yeah. And I'm like, that's not what I asked for. But it's really nice.
I mean, the quality of coffee in Nespresso is a lot smoother than usually drink.
Well, and I think part of it is the way that it's made.
Yeah.
Because
it froths it.
Yeah, it makes it frothy. Because I buy those, I get little, this pack that you can use the Nespresso pods over again. You pull the top off.
Yes.
And then you can put your own coffee in there and seal them up and use them. And they work great. Mm-hmm. And I just use regular, I use Pete's decaf because I like to buy the fancy pants coffee from them. And then I make the decaf from the Pete's coffee, which is actually really good.
Not a sponsored ad.
Not a sponsored, not yet.
But if you want to, I mean,
Nespresso,
we're
if you're interested.
We're open.
Yeah. We'll do a whole ad.
If you want to send me an espresso to try.
Oh, there you go.
I would be open to that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not any special coffee is what I'm saying. And I think, and it still whirls up like that, still foams up.
Yeah.
So I think it has to do with the machine and that it spins around and all that. Anyway.
It's very technical.
Yes. Anyway, so yes, we're back.
Welcome back, everybody. Tonight, as mentioned, we are discussing Am I Crazy? And Amy, since this was your pick, she is here with her overview. So take it away, Amy.
Thank you. This Dead Files episode takes us to Great Falls, Montana, where Kelly, a new homeowner, fears she's either haunted or losing her mind. She's seeing a ghostly woman in turn-of-the-century clothing. She's receiving dreamlike messages and even claims the spirit is guiding her renovations. The twist? She believes this isn't just any ghost. It's Valeria Gibson, the long-erased wife of Paris Gibson, the town's powerful founder. As Steve digs into the home's history and Amy does her walk, the house reveals layers of sadness, manipulation, and secrets buried deep, literally. Kelly's belief that a tunnel system was used to cover up a murder sounds far-fetched until ground-penetrating radar suggests there really was something filled in beneath the house. Amy Allen sees visions of a woman falling or being pushed down the stairs and a dominating male presence that tries to block her at every turn. Meanwhile, the Gibson sons both ended their days in a mental institution, and the house's later history includes a string of tenants with psychiatric conditions, including a former owner removed from the property in a straitjacket. By the reveal, it's clear Kelly's not crazy. Amy confirms the presence of a fiercely protective female spirit, likely Valeria, who shields two lost children and struggles under the weight of oppressive male spirits. The puzzle pieces, hidden artifacts, suspicious deaths, and erased records suggest not only a haunting, but a family cover-up that may have succeeded in life, but is still unraveling in death. Is it madness, or a woman finally telling her story through dreams and intuition? I want to say stay tuned to see if the activity continues, but spoiler alert, we don't actually find out. Not really.
No.
So, this is early.
Yeah.
This is season first.
Season first.
Season
episode
one.
Six.
Episode six. Episode six.
Yeah.
And so they're still like doing some things differently and figuring out how they're doing stuff. And for instance, Matt, when he's clearing, you just hear Amy saying, Matt clears the place before I get there and da da da.
And my thought was maybe he was sick.
It could have been.
Or, you know, like we just said, they're still figuring out their rhythm because Amy does the, like, she's the one at the top who kind of explains the
whole premise.
Yeah, the whole premise. Yeah. And usually that's Steve, so.
Yeah, usually it's like, at least in later episodes, Amy says, I'm Amy Allen and I see dead people or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they go, I'm Steve, I'm a retired homicide detective. And this time she did it.
Yep.
And I don't remember if there were any other ones before or after where Steve did everything.
I mean,
it's possible, but I don't recall
it. Yeah, I think they were just trying to figure their rhythm out.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. There was a very nice slow motion shot of Steve walking in.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they, but again, like this is the earlier, like the sixth episode. So I'm sure they were trying to fill air and try to fill, you know, they didn't have a lot of stuff to do. So it was a very nice slow mo walk of like him around the car with his briefcase. And, you know, it was very dramatic.
Yeah. It was. I noted that too. I was thinking, oh, they're trying lots of things. Mm-hmm. And I think also when a show is just starting out, they don't have like their crew is not the same every day. It's
right.
not the same people. It's not the same director every day.
Right.
And so they're just always trying new and different things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's kind of fun to see all the things they tried.
Yeah.
And the things that they
stuck
and things that didn't stick.
Yeah. I will say, I think the slow-mo stuck because it's pretty frequent throughout the series.
Yeah.
One thing I noted was Kelly when she said, I bought this house a couple years ago. For some reason, I had to have it.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we heard that?
I know.
You know, where people are drawn to it, whether it's been there as in a past life or... So I don't think we touched on that, but it was just something that I noticed. You know, it's like, she's like, I felt compelled to have it.
Yeah. And that I originally thought, oh, she's the whatever the ghost is somebody that's attached to her or speaking through her or something like that.
I mean,
or
maybe,
she's reincarnated.
Yeah. Of or a distant relative or something. There's some reason that the ghost has attached to her. But because she even said her word is I felt compelled to buy it. Yeah. So
and this is before we know that she does have some abilities.
Yeah.
So I didn't think, you know, I didn't go there with it because I didn't know that yet. Spoiler alert, she does.
Oh, and then they started renovating it.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there it is.
Yep, there you go. That's what happened.
So I wonder if Valeria got more active after the renovation or if she, like, I just wonder how much the renovation was tied to the activity. Mm-hmm. Because if Kelly was compelled to buy it.
She was already there.
I mean, she was already there.
Drawing her in, probably.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So she's probably just, like, this person can see me and hear me. I want her to live here so I can have her tell my story.
And then she started renovations, and that just, so check that off your bingo card.
Right.
You know, renovations. That always does it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure does. It did in my old house.
We haven't done any renovations in our house yet. And our house is from the 50s. It was built in 1954. So if we ever do, I would be interested. We have been talking about either redoing our bathroom or adding a separate bathroom or a second, because we only have one.
Oh, yeah.
I know. No outlets in our bathroom either.
Oh, that's how it is in the UK.
Yeah.
I'm like, because they don't want you to drop your hair dryer into the tub while you're in there. But I would say, just based on what, you know, the houses we've owned and stuff and what we've done, do the second bathroom, not just for your comfort, but that adds so much more value to the house. I know.
But we priced it out, and just a half bath with just a toilet and a sink is $15,000.
Yeah.
Like, that's
usually it's the plumbing. Yeah.
I mean, I get it, but it's just like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm. It's worth it, though. It'll come back for sure when you're ready to sell.
I know, but, you know, I don't know if you know this, but my husband is quite frugal.
A little frugal, yeah. A
little bit.
Well, you just have to entice him with, when you move. Mm-hmm.
Who's the guy from Christmas Carol? What was his name? Ebenezer Scrooge?
Ebenezer Scrooge, yeah.
He would look at my husband and be like, you need to spend some money. He would be like, that's a bit much. Loosen those purse strings. So stay tuned. If we ever renovate our house, right, I will let you know, because I'm pretty sure there's some stuff there.
Yeah.
But, you know, the other night I was in bed and I felt something on my bed and I was like, oh, it's marshy. It was not marshy.
Mm. I feel cats jumping on the bed every once in a while.
Yeah. I mean, that I'm so used to that it doesn't scare me anymore.
Yeah, me neither.
Probably should, but.
Yeah. It's probably just either it's your imagination or it's a pet coming to visit.
I think it's my pet. I would bet money it's not my imagination. Because it's, for me to think it's Marshy, my cat, he's 15 pounds. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it is not, we're not talking like dainty, you know, kitty cat footsteps. Yeah. We're talking like a bulldozer of a cat. Don't tell him I said that about him. He's very sensitive. I'm sorry. We are two sentences into this script.
Here we go.
We haven't seen each other in quite a while.
This is the first time we've seen each other in person in
probably
a couple of months.
At least.
We had that game party.
Oh, yeah.
That was the 22nd.
Yeah, that's what it was.
November. 22nd of November.
Yes.
Yeah, because I invited AP and she was like, I'm going to be in Ireland. I'm like, oh, shit, that's right.
But couldn't she have postponed it?
I mean,
for a game night?
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
It was fun. I'm just saying.
We had a good time. Anyway, back to the task at hand.
Back to what we're supposed to be doing. So sorry. Renovation.
We kept talking about the ghost. Valeria Gibson is who Kelly believes is haunting her house. And she has gotten this impression because she gets messages in her sleep when she's dreaming. And she has also seen an apparition.
And she did research on the house too. So
she already knew.
She already knew about Valeria. Yep. So when she got those dreams and the apparitions, it was easier for her to put two and two together.
Yep. She basically did the walkthrough that Amy does plus the Steve investigation and figured that out.
I mean, honestly, she did their jobs for them. Like, they really just had to come in and verify what she discovered.
Right. And then she was thinking, you know, like the title, Am I Crazy? Mm-hmm. She was like, I just feel like, you know, I'm insane or something. And as Steve is not at all covering the fact that he doesn't believe one ounce of this.
Right.
He's like looking at her like, okay. And then he goes, have you told people that? And she said, very few. Mm-hmm. And he said, do they think you're crazy? And she's like, yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And then they go to Steve in the confessional or whatever.
Like the voice, yeah.
And he says, Kelly's right. She might actually be crazy.
Like, Steve.
Steve.
Rude.
Really rude.
And settle down.
Yeah.
Your literal job right now is to go in and talk to these people. Yeah. So maybe don't be like, oh, you're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Let's keep an open mind, homicide detective.
That's right. It's not always the first person you think it is.
Although it most likely is the husband.
Yeah, usually.
Or the boyfriend.
Or the wife. I mean, spouse usually, but.
All right, fine. Say spouse.
If they were poisoned, then
Oh, for sure, then it's
the woman. That's
a woman thing. Oh my God. Has a man ever poisoned anybody?
I'm sure, but it's not very common. Yeah. It's not very common. Okay, so Steve. Oh, now I came here thinking she was seeing a ghost. Now she tells me that she has a ghost that's actually controlling her dreams.
And it's just dripping with like disbelief.
I know.
Like he's not even trying to.
Well, it's only episode six. I mean, I'm not saying they recorded them all in the same order, but it's early. Mm-hmm. It's probably the first of 10 anyway, even if they released them differently.
Yeah.
So he's still not a believer. No. I think further on,
yes,
he started realizing maybe there is something to this because there are things that Amy has proven that you cannot.
I mean, spot
there's
on.
There's no way she
when
would
he
know.
Does the history and she's come with her reveal. I mean, it is like, and I love it when they do that and you see it in his face. Yeah. It's like,
yeah, he's like, oh,
he's
shit.
Like, holy shit. Yeah. How did she know that?
Yeah.
Kelly sounds very Canadian.
Oh, does she? I didn't notice that.
When she talked about she needed to tear this wall out.
Yeah.
I need to tear this wall out.
Out? Did she say out?
Oh, she. I mean, oh, and they are funny. In Montana, you know, so it does border Canada.
Canada.
This is how you say that. I know. Go back and listen. It's okay. She does sound very, very Canadian.
Oh, that's funny. Well, so she finds this. She feels compelled to rip this wall down. And she finds an old inkwell in there from 1895. And she believes it was Valeria's. And
how,
she thinks.
Do we learn how she knows it's from 1895? Like, that's a very specific year.
They didn't say. My guess is she brought it to an antique shop and they gave her a range. Mm-hmm. And she went, oh, that matches I already want to believe anyway. So, yeah. And I'm not saying she's lying. I think she's experiencing all the stuff she is experiencing. And I think it's valid. I do think it's Valeria talking to her. Mm-hmm. I do believe that. But it's also. We tend to, when we find evidence or clues, we tend to
tunnel vision,
try and see how they can match what we already believe. Yep. And I know that's what police do too when they arrest somebody, and they're like, "Well, we're on a timeline, so this has to be the guy, so we're going to make all the evidence match." We all do it a little bit to some extent.
Yeah.
Some worse than others. Anyway, so now Amy is walking through, and she says they do not want her to see. This where there was, she said there's some yelling and screaming going on, and she gets to a spot that is boarded up, and she said, I feel like this should be a room and someone's putting stuff in here, which is basically what Kelly had just said to Steve. And you can see that there's a cutout, like it looks
very clearly. It looks like it's been removed and put back in.
Yeah. This whole section of wall. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I mean, we have one of those in our bathroom and it's like where all the pipes are, so it's cut out of the wall so you can get to the pipes if you have to. Mm-hmm. So it kind of looks like that, only when she pulls it apart it's just what do you call it, insulation in the walls. So that must have been put in later, and she didn't see anything in there, she didn't feel anything in there, but she thought there was something that was taken out.
And my thought too is, could it have been part of the renovation? Like, could Kelly have done it, you know, during the renovation?
Possible.
I keep putting an extra R in there. I'm very sorry. The renovation. Is it the renovation time? We're going to go worship. Do the worshing. The renovation.
Yeah. And this is in the attic where this spot is. But the attic is, I don't think that's where Kelly was knocking down the wall. That was that was in the main floor.
I don't think it was.
So but it could have been something that was connected, like it from the attic and dropped down to the, maybe it was a chute
or a dumbwaiter.
Who knows? Yeah. Who knows?
Could have been a dumbwaiter.
Yep.
Not those smart ones. They wouldn't be in the walls.
No, they wouldn't be in the walls.
They wouldn't be. They'd be on the stairs.
Yeah. So Amy says she feels like something was put in there, like a book. They were hiding a book. And Valeria did say she thinks it was, Kelly did say she thinks it was Valeria's diary.
Yeah. Which is a book.
Which is a book.
You're welcome.
Otherwise known as a book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here to help you guys understand the really difficult terminology that Amy can sometimes throw in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm the translator.
Yeah. That's right. All right. So then we get to Amy. She's on the stairs seeing Valeria running up and down the stairs. And Kelly is explaining then to Steve what she believes happened to Valeria, and that Valeria died in the house.
Yeah.
And that her
Valeria
son
told her that.
Yeah. Either Valeria told her that in a dream.
Or something. Yeah.
I think it was a dream.
Yeah.
She was up here writing and her son Theodore came up. They got into a confrontation and he pushed her down the stairs and she broke her neck and died. And she says, yeah, that came to me in a dream.
Oh, yeah. There it is.
There it is. And so then you show Amy and she's doing the same thing. She's like, she's saying something was done to her. There were a lot of things done to her. Her whole life was kind of dictated. How she died was dictated.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a woman who was murdered.
And that sounds about right for the time. Yeah. I mean, even now. you know, women had no rights. You mm-hmm. didn't choose who you were married mm-hmm. to. You, I mean, they couldn't even own a open a bank account until right. the fucking like 70s. Right. So, you know, 1890s, yeah. she had no rights at all.
Right.
So it would make sense that her life was dictated and every ounce of her life was controlled.
Yeah. Yeah.
That tracks.
Yep. Kelly then tells Steve about these underground tunnels that she believes are in the house and that there were throughout the whole city. Steve says, well, I'm going to have to look into that and see if that's really a thing. But mm-hmm. she says what she believes happened is that Valeria died on the stairs mm-hmm. and that her son Theodore, the one that pushed her, mm-hmm. dragged her corpse through the tunnel system to the hotel, brought her to the hotel and threw her off the balcony. Yeah,
to make it look like a suicide.
To make it look like a suicide.
Yep.
And I did some more research into that, which we'll get to at the end.
Ooh, research.
But let's just say I don't think the official story of her leaping off of the balcony could possibly be true.
Well, no, but you know, she was a woman and you know, they're hysterical.
Hysterical, that's right.
So it does make sense that that's what would happen because she's just emotional.
Right.
She's not logical like the men.
That's right.
I'm good.
We have no problem with that.
Yeah. It's America 2026. We are living it up over here. Nothing at all wrong.
No, everything's fine.
Yep.
So Steve asks, have you ever seen the tunnels? She says, no, but I had a dream and I know where they are. But I haven't opened one up from beneath my house, but I know where it is. Yes. And then she goes and shows it to him. Mm-hmm. And it looks exactly like the tunnel system in the CC Club where we did our live show.
Yep.
Because when we did the show for Volstead, which was all about Minneapolis gangsters blood
Kid
running.
Can.
Yeah, Kid Can and bootlegging. That's the word. They said there was bootlegging going on. It was coming. They were like, you know, putting the booze through the tunnels.
Yeah.
And so they let us go down in the basement and showed us the tunnels. It was really cool.
But it makes sense. I mean, if the, you know, 1895 is when, the house has been around in the 20s when Prohibition was, it would make sense that there were tunnels that led to and from different places.
Sure. Well, and people smuggled stuff way before Prohibition, too. They were smuggling other things.
Like people.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, there was a whole thing in, I want to say, the Northwest. And that's why we did an episode on how sailors they'd get drunk and they'd stumble into these tunnels and they'd be kidnapped and shipped off to be servants.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. Scary.
Yeah. Well, and the part of Scotland that we visited this last time, mm-hmm. is Eyemouth, and it's a little fishing village, mm-hmm. and it was a smuggler's cove.
Yeah,
but they weren't just smuggling booze; they were smuggling all sorts of things.
Yeah, jewels.
So yeah, all sorts of things.
The rum's gone.
Yeah, just kidding. So yeah, there could have been tunnels in 1890, even though it was way before Prohibition.
The point of that tangent is that it makes sense that they would be there.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
So she did check City Hall when she bought the house and they could not get any blueprints. They're all gone.
Mm-hmm. And like, it's hard. Part of me does, like, Steve is like, I'm having a hard time believing everything mm-hmm. she's hearing. And I kind of understand that because, and this is hard for me to say logically, because we know me and logic, oil and water, we're not friends, we're enemies. But everything that she's saying, like, she doesn't have proof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's saying it came to me in a dream. I know these tunnels are down here. And he said, well, have you ever tried looking for them? And she's like, no. And they're not in the blueprints. And so I get what he's saying.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'm not discrediting her at all. Right. I completely believe that the experiences she's had, the dreams she's had, everything is legit. But if you're going from a logical piece, it's difficult to swallow.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is. Especially if you're someone who doesn't believe that this sort of thing is possible.
Right.
Whereas I believe it's possible, so I tend to believe her.
Same. I mean, you know me. I'll believe anything you tell me. But I do agree with Steve where he's saying it's hard to believe because, again, where's the evidence? Like, you know these tunnels are down here, but you haven't tried to get into them at all?
Yeah. Well, she'd had to, like, break down walls in her basement.
But she said she felt compelled. Yeah. She's compelled to buy the house. She was compelled to look for the ink to break. She broke the wall down looking for the inkwell.
Yeah.
You know, what was stopping her from, I mean, I agree with her.
Yeah.
I'm just playing devil's advocate. If she broke the wall down to find the inkwell, what's to stop her from trying to find the tunnel?
Sure. Yeah.
But I believe her.
Yeah. We believe her.
Yes.
So, let's see. What else should we touch on here? Oh. Steve decided he wanted to check out this tunnel situation. So, I'm going to go look into the tunnels, he says. I called a guy named Brad. He's going to use some radar equipment to see if there's any tunnels beneath the house. And so I just named the section a guy named Brad because he didn't say who he was. He just a guy with some stuff
and
that can look in the ground.
And he literally looks like he wants to be the Indiana Jones.
I know, he's wearing the hat.
Because he had he had on like a bomber jacket, kind of like Indiana Jones, like the pants. This whole section to me was very weird. I know we're still in season one. We're trying to, you know, get content. Again, like we've said, we're figuring ourselves out. It just didn't make any sense to me. Like, I get he was trying to say that there could have been tunnels there.
Well, yeah, what the guy ended up saying is he used his radar equipment and he could see that something under the ground. He wasn't seeing tunnels, but he was seeing that that had been filled in with a different material than the rest of the dirt.
No, he said there was a change in the fill material.
Yeah. So that would be the material that fills the holes, right? That's the way I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. So, I don't know. I just thought it was kind of silly.
It was, I mean, I get what they were doing.
I do too. I get what they were doing.
I think it was just done weirdly. Like, it wasn't.
I called a guy named Brad.
Yeah, I called a guy named Brad. Here he is.
Here's Brad. Again, the Indiana Jones of ghost hunting. And nothing against Brad. He did a really good job.
Yeah, he did great.
I mean, it was weird. It was, I don't know. It just, like Amy said, I get what they were trying to do. I don't know. It was just a weird thing to me.
It was.
They couldn't even get his last name.
I know. And like, usually it'll say like so-and-so historian or guy with an auger, but it didn't say anything.
Or genealogist.
That's right.
You know, Brad.
Or gynecologist.
I mean, maybe Brad is a gynecologist and he just does this on his weekend.
I mean, that could be.
You know? I don't know.
I don't know. He's just a guy named Brad.
Guy named Brad with some equipment and an Indiana Jones hat.
That's right. Okay. So then they show Amy and she meets the big guy and she says he's bigger than the door. Mm-hmm. And she said, I don't know how he fits in here because he's bigger than the door. And I'm like, girl, ghosts can walk through walls.
That's what I thought.
Why does it matter how big he is?
I mean, he's like, God, I really want to go into this room, but I can't fit through the door.
I can't
like,
just that.
Go through the walls. I
That's weird.
That was my thought. I was like, can he just walk through the walls, Amy? Just walk.
Usually how they do.
That's how they do it.
But they did. They put some creepy echo on her voice.
Big man doesn't want me back there. Does not want me back there. He's like, get out of here. Shut up.
Not like that. I'm glad I watched this during the day. Because if I had watched it at night, this would have not been good.
It was a little weird.
I liked it. It was, you know.
Yeah.
I liked it, but it was very creepy.
Yeah.
I don't think they use that much in the later episodes.
I don't think
episodes.
So. Every once in a while, they'll throw something like that in. But this one, I was like, I stood up and my ears perked up. I thought it was kind of cool. Okay, so what else we got? Oh, then the two guys, the remodelers. We didn't really get their names. Like, he didn't say their names, but one of them called the other guy by his name. So we know one of them was named. I have remodeler one and remodeler Mark in my script.
Yeah.
Steve says, I don't know what to make of this woman, Kelly.
And I was like, well, she is a woman. So I mean, that just discredits her already.
Right.
Because she's hysterical.
In Steve's
and emotional.
Mind, that is, you guys, not in ours.
We're being sarcastic.
That's right. If you don't know that about us yet.
If this is your first episode, welcome. we are feminists. We are very sarcastic. So welcome. And I hope you stay.
Yeah.
So yes, remodeler one and Mark.
Yeah. So those two. They described when they were working on the house and they got freaked out and they said they would never go back in the house.
Ooh, that's,
never go back in the house.
To be fair, I probably wouldn't either. Like, if shit started happening, I don't know. I'm trying, you guys, I'm trying to be braver.
Well, I mean, if you don't have any reason to go back in, then you don't. Don't bother it.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So we do know that Amy's now on the second floor. Mm-hmm. Amy Allen is now on the second floor, and she met a woman who is saying, you know, I just don't want any more of this going on. I just want to sleep. I just want to relax. And Matt asked who that is. And she said, it's the same lady as downstairs, but she's kind of walking away from me. Mm-hmm. She thinks that we're evil and that we shouldn't be here. Which tells me that would be somebody who was probably pretty religious mm-hmm. in life yeah. to be like that. And she's protecting two children.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, I mean, it makes sense for that time period. Everybody was religious, mm-hmm. you know, and if we don't understand it, it's evil.
That's right.
That even goes to today.
Yep.
Gays.
Yep.
The whole community.
Yep.
We don't understand it. They're just evil.
Yep.
Sarcasm, they're not. We love everybody. We love them all.
We are inclusive.
We are allies.
And except that I have bought ableist garlic.
I can't even talk to you about it. I was at the store yesterday and I saw this woman. If you don't know, this is a very, very inside joke from like 8 or 9 years ago where we used to be in this group called Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Crime.
Yeah.
And it was an offshoot of My Favorite Murder. And somebody posted in there, holy shit, that they bought already peeled garlic. Mm-hmm. And the comments section mm-hmm. ripped them apart for mm-hmm. being so ableist. Mm-hmm. Because you can buy and peel your own goddamn garlic.
That's right. P.S. I was the one who posted it.
Oh, you? It was you?
Yeah. I posted, I had gone to the Asian shop
yeah.
and I bought a tray
yeah.
of garlic that was already peeled.
Oh, God.
Because I wanted to roast it all and make like a sauce out of it or something like that.
Yeah.
And I hate peeling garlic. And you get out paper all over your fingers. It's all sticky and everything.
And you get sticky.
Yeah. So this was great. I opened it up. I'd use it. As done. It was good. So I posted it on the group and I was like, look what I found in the market today.
Yeah.
And yeah, I got ripped. Five new ones.
Oof.
Because I should not be buying garlic that is meant for people who unable to peel their own garlic.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, but it's a tiny little grocery store. There were like 10 trays of it. And I didn't see anybody else clamoring for it. It's like I'm going to knock over somebody without arms in order to grab that garlic.
She would. I've seen her. Don't.
But yeah, so that's when I quit the group. I was like, all right, you know what? All you virtue signaling or whatever they call it. Yeah, that was annoying.
So I was at the store yesterday and I saw somebody. I was at an Aldi and I saw somebody buying a bag of already peeled garlic. And every single time I see a bag of garlic, I think of that. So I texted Amy and I said, it took everything I had to not yell at her about being ableist.
Yeah.
And then Amy said, well, I bought chopped garlic and I didn't talk to her for a couple of hours.
Yeah, she's like, I'm done with you.
I was like, God, I can't.
Yeah.
So
anyway, that's the story behind the ableist garlic. I believe we told that story a long time ago.
I know we did. But for all those newbies, welcome.
We're going to go off on a lot more tangents this time.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of research to get to, so I don't want to spend too much time here. Right. But anyway, we're going to take an ad break right now because we are going to be jumping into the second segment.
Ad break.
Do you hate ads? You might want to consider joining us over on Patreon. Tiers start at $3 a month, but all tiers get equal access with perks such as ad-free episodes that drop earlier than the public release, virtual happy hours where we swap ghost stories face-to-face, and other exclusive content like behind-the-scenes stuff, extras like bingo cards, and bloopers and outtakes too. Join our tight-knit, witchy, cool community that actually gets your paranormal memes. Creep on over to patreon.com/theactivitycontinues. We hope to see you in the Haunted Lounge. Have you ever wanted to sip on something that tastes like a potion and feels like a spell without waking up to a haunted inbox of regret the next day? Yeah, us too. That's why we're still obsessed with Three Spirit, our favorite line of plant-based, non-alcoholic elixirs. These drinks are not your average just-add-bubbles mocktails. No, ma'am. These are mood-shifting, spirit-lifting, botanically-enhanced brews made by actual plant nerds, bar wizards, and maybe a forest witch or two. Whether you're conjuring courage for a social gathering, chilling out with your spirit guides, or just vibing solo while listening to a paranormal podcast, like, I don't know, this one, there's a blend for you. Our go-to, the Nightcap. It's like a hug from a friendly ghost. Smooth, dreamy, and perfect before bed. But don't sleep on the others. Each one has its own magic. you can get 15% off your first order with our link. Just head to 3spiritdrinks.com and use code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES at checkout. So raise your glass or your cauldron and drink to your health, your spirits, and maybe even the activity that continues. Okay.
Welcome back from the ad.
Now we are
digging
true.
Digging through the archives.
Digging through them.
Kelly, yeah, Steve is talking to Kelly about Kelly being convinced she's met Valeria Gibson. Mm-hmm. And so he's going to go dig into the archives to find out some stuff about her.
He said, "What's weird is I can't find much on Valeria, not even solid evidence as to when or if she lived in the house. I mean, he couldn't find anything." And I was like, this sounds like a good time to insert that Cardi B soundbite where she goes, "That's suspicious. That's weird." I fucking love Cardi B. But yeah, I mean, is it suspicious?
Well, I was a little confused while I was watching the show. It wasn't until I started doing research, and we'll get to that. But I'll just, spoiler alert, she never lived in that house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we'll get to that.
Oh boy, that is a big spoiler.
Yeah. But we don't find that out watching The Dead Files.
No, we don't.
I only found that out because
Amy did her own digging true.
I did my own digging true, which we'll talk about in the end, yeah. The research and rabbit hole section, which is where we dig true a little further.
Mm-hmm. We get our shovels
out. I'm not saying I did more research than Steve. I'm just saying I'm giving you stuff that I found that was not on the show. Steve could have found it.
Yes.
I could have been on the show and gotten edited.
I mean, again, I know we don't have to say this, but we've talked to clients, multiple clients who have said, well, they edited this out or they spun the editing to make it appear one way. Mm-hmm. So just like Amy said, Steve could have found it and they just didn't include it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not saying I'm a better researcher than Steve or the team.
No.
Just saying. And also, I think some of the stuff I found might have been put up more recently. This episode came out in 2015. That was 10 years ago. Hi, friends. Just a little correction here. The episode did not come out in 2015. It came out in 2011.
Yeah.
So some of these things could have been out since then. They weren't out at the time. Okay. So Amy's on the first floor. She's talking to that guy that nobody wants her here. They don't like outsiders. They're men. And there was a part here where she said, I think somebody was a little mentally unstable. They're screaming, we will hurt you. Don't think that we won't.
I don't like that.
No. That was a really creepy, and the way they edited it was really creepy too. So now we're talking to Ken Robinson. He's a local historian. This guy gets not only a name, a last name, and a
job.
Title.
Yeah. Poor Mark and Remodeler 1 and Brad. They're like, what the fuck? They even get last names. Remodeler 1 just didn't even get a name.
I know.
Poor guy.
I know.
I see you, Remodeler 1.
Oh, so Theodore is the one that lived in Kelly's house. Mm-hmm. So Theodore and Philip are the two sons. They do mention briefly that they had two other children that died. Mm-hmm. But these two sons grew to be
grown-ups,
men.
Yeah. Adults.
I've never pronounced it that way.
I have not either. I say adult.
Until today.
Until right now.
It's the first time for everything.
Yeah. And I'm glad we shared it.
I'm glad. It was nice.
Brought us closer.
That's right. So they showed the death certificates for both Theodore and Paris, and it had the house's address on it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe don't.
Maybe you guys should grief that out next time.
Should have blocked that out.
But I did look up the house and I found some interesting stuff. Which I'll get to.
Research and rabbit holes.
Research and rabbit holes at the end.
Stay tuned.
That's right. So Amy sees these guys fighting. One of the brothers was the toughie. He was strangely not the one that allegedly killed his mother, the other guy. But
Ken kind of said that they were like, quote, good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
So Philip was the bad one and Theodore was the good one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that they were kind of guardians of their dad, who was, Paris Gibson was the founder of the city.
Which, again, is weird that there's no information that Steve could find on Valeria, because he was a pretty prominent person. You think there'd be something about his wife. Mm-hmm. just for the sheer fact that she was tied to him.
Right. We'll get to that.
Okay.
So then he explains that both of these sons died in a mental hospital, state mental hospital. Amy also noticed, you know, she had said that there was obviously some mental illness here.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wasn't sure if here when Amy was talking about one guy and the other guy, if she was talking about the brothers.
That's what I
think
got
she probably
from it.
Was,
That's
but
what
I wasn't. Got. Yeah. She said he was unstable and he's hitting the other guy. So now we're talking to neighbor Mark.
Yep.
Mark, I believe, lives next door.
Yep.
He was born and raised in the house next door. He's been there for over 40 years. He does not look 40 years old to me.
I was just going
to
say he does. I would put him at like 25.
Yeah, he does not look 40 years old.
No. But I don't think I look 40 either. So
yeah, know. I don't. Yeah.
I look young and spry.
I don't think I look 95.
And... No, and you don't look a day over 40. Yeah. Not a day.
Steve asked him, you know, what do you think this could be happening? He's like, yeah, I do. I've experienced things over there myself. And he said he hasn't seen anything. He's felt things. And he's felt threatened, and he would not go back in the house.
I will say, again, from my personal experience and doing this podcast and research, feeling threatened and feeling a certain way can be tied to electrical currents, sure. Can be tied to, you know, if you're around, what are those things called that have the switches on them? Breaker box?
Oh, yeah.
Like... Because, like, I used to, in my old house, that was very haunted. But part of my thing was when I laid on the couch, I felt extra terrible. And right on the other side of a wall was a switch box, a breaker box. So, again, yeah. I'm not discrediting Mark and what he's been through. But there is also a logical explanation for those feelings.
There could be, yeah.
Yeah, there yeah. could be. Not there is, but yeah. there could be.
Yeah.
So I just want to insert that in there.
Yeah. That is true. That's I learned about that when watching Jason and I always forget the other guy's name. Grant, Jason and Grant on Ghost Hunters.
Oh, okay.
Which I was called Ghostbusters, but yeah. Ghost Hunters. And they because they were plumbers, you know, mm-hmm. or they are plumbers. And they were so they were always trying to find what could be the scientific reason for everything going on.
Yeah.
And that's when I learned that that places that have. All that electrical energy. Yeah. It's energy. Your, yeah. Energy you're feeling.
Yeah.
It's just not a ghost energy. Right. It's energy, right. Different kind of energy. So Mark talks about how people that were renting over at the Gibson home that were mentally challenged, they had mm-hmm. turned it into a rental place for a while. And he said that was those were people that had come out of an institution.
Yeah.
Which is interesting seeing as two of the brothers
went into
an institution. And then Mark explains that the owner that he remembers growing up went insane. He remembers him being escorted out of his house in a straitjacket. It was a big ordeal, big spectacle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was taken to Warm Springs, mm-hmm. which is the same state hospital that the other two men died in 100 years before.
Mm-hmm.
So, Steve, so let me get this straight. This guy that used to own the Gibson house wound up in a mental hospital. And Paris Gibson's kids, too. If Kelly's having a mental breakdown, she wouldn't be the first in this house.
Nice, Steve.
So, yeah, Amy's getting a lot of people coming and going. Oh, and then she said there's so much sadness mm-hmm. and illness and people are climbing in and out of the windows. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even imagine. Like, yeah. you know, those like old sanatoriums
oh,
were
yeah.
just
horrid.
Awful. And then you take them out of there and you throw them into a rental house, like yeah. a flop house basically yeah, and
that nobody cares about and you yeah. just throw them away
yeah
I mean half the time people were put in those institutions to be thrown away
yeah it was, they called it warehousing
yeah they're just like oh yeah. I don't want to deal with my crazy wife so yeah. I'd throw her in an asylum for the rest of her life
yep
you know or they lobotomize them like Rosemary Kennedy was it Rosemary
is she the one I don't remember
the whatever Kennedy they lobotomized yeah. her and she spent the rest of her fucking life like
yeah
because
it's yeah. bad
Yeah,
psychiatry has some really, really horrid history.
History, yeah, it does.
It's real bad.
Yeah,
it's just you know people didn't understand. I didn't know what was going on. A lot of times I thought they were
crazy,
obsessed. I mean, not obsessed. What's the word? Possessed.
Yeah,
by the devil and all mm-hmm. that stuff. So yeah, it's really, really not good, horrible, and unfortunate.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, and then Amy says, "Is this really happening, or am I crazy?" So.
Even Amy's thinking it.
That's right. All right, now we're on to
the reveal.
The reveal includes not just Amy and Steve, but Kelly and Mark, the neighbor, mm-hmm. who said he would never go back in the house.
Not Mark, the remodeler.
No, it is Mark, right?
Yeah, it is Mark.
Okay, they're both Mark.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm like, did I get that wrong?
No, you didn't.
Okay, cool.
I was just clarifying.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I don't really think we have to go over all of this because it's all stuff you already know. Yep. But Steve talks about how Valeria had four children. Two of them died at a very young age. One was one, one was two. And they don't give much other info about those kids, but I do have some info that we'll get to later. Mm. I don't know how they died. I know we won't go into that, but I have names about them and stuff. So anyway, she's protected.
They were one and two. It could have been anything. They could have gotten a cold. Yeah. And
I know, back then.
Pneumonia. Yeah.
Right. So Amy corroborates the stuff that Kelly has seen. And I love that when Kelly's like, I feel like I'm insane or whatever. And Amy goes, well, first of all, you're not crazy.
Yeah.
Like, let's just get that out
right
now. Because she's like, I've seen the same thing.
Yeah.
So that must have been so validating for Kelly. I felt relief mm-hmm. hearing that. At the time, I imagine she must have.
I'm sure she did. Well. Because I'm sure she's either been keeping this to herself for all this time or been telling people and getting them looking at her mm-hmm. like some sort of way. So, mm-hmm. yeah, now she can say, well, there was a legit medium who mm-hmm. told me that I am not crazy.
That's right. It's happening. If it happens, well, okay. If you're going to ask my husband, Greg, there would have to be a third person to corroborate. You can't just have two data points, you have to have three.
Okay.
Anyway, so
I'll chip coffee.
So yeah, Amy explains the woman running around, falling up the stairs, running up the stairs, falling down the stairs. She thinks she got murdered. Mm-hmm. So then they talk about that and how Steve talks about this newspaper article. There are two of them. One said she died accidentally from a fall, and the other one just said she died. Mm-hmm. They're contradicting. I wouldn't say it's contradicting. I'd say the second one is not telling the whole story.
Yeah, yeah.
But it turns out I don't think either one of them are.
Yeah.
And when I saw papers from, I found papers from back then mm-hmm. that said a whole lot more. So I don't know what they brought up. The
but
dead
again,
files or what
and
Steve
what was
brought
edited.
Up. Yeah. Well, this is interesting that the death certificate said it was an accidental death, but it just said accidental, mm-hmm. and it was signed off by her brother-in-law, her sister's husband.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder why it wasn't signed off by her husband or her sons.
I don't know.
Unless he was already dead. We don't know when he died. I mean, do we?
Paris?
Yeah.
He died after he was 90.
So he could have signed off on that.
He could have.
So it's interesting that he didn't.
It is. It is weird that he didn't. Unless the brother-in-law was a coroner or something.
Oh, that's true.
That could have been.
Yeah.
Anyway, Kelly talks again about how she thinks the body was transported through the underground tunnels. Mm-hmm. And Amy just notices, or she just mentions that when she went down to the basement, she wanted to go down further, which made her think there was something underneath that. That's when they talk about the tunnels. And I just wanted to note a little technical production note that while they're here and Amy starts saying, one of the things I got as well was something about five men. Mm-hmm. At that point, the sound in the room changed. It sounded like she didn't have her mic on. I was hearing room noise. It sounded like she was in a tunnel.
I know.
It was super weird.
And it's weird that they didn't catch that.
I know.
And make her do it again or fix it or whatever.
Yeah. It was really weird. And it was just that section. Mm-hmm. And it was normal again at the end. But anyway, I don't think we found out much about these five men.
No, we didn't.
I don't know anything about
these
five men.
We didn't find out, to be honest, a lot.
Yeah.
We didn't find out a lot in the reveal that we didn't already know.
Right.
So this was an interesting episode in that. I mean, really, Amy just corroborated. That's tough.
It is.
What Kelly was saying.
Yeah.
Which is good for Kelly and very validating, but
maybe that's all Kelly wanted.
Yeah.
I mean, these people don't always want whatever it is to go away.
Yeah.
They just want to know that it's what they're seeing is real.
And she doesn't. I mean, Kelly did not make any note that she wanted it to be cleaned out.
Right.
It wanted to get rid of her, her marriage wasn't hanging by a thread.
That's right.
Her dad didn't write a book. So I think she just wanted, like you said,
validation. Yeah. Yeah. So we talk about the two sons who died. Steve has got the gift certificate.
Gift $50 to...
Death certificate.
Yes.
Yeah, that's not the same thing.
No, very, very
he died, Theodore, mm-hmm. died of exhaustion of general paralysis of the insane, which sounds super weird.
Yeah. What does that even mean?
Oh, I looked it up. But as Steve's trying to talk about the other one, then he says, but the other one said exhaustion of...
Paresis?
Paresis, not paralyzation, whatever.
Paralysis.
Paralysis, that's the word.
Yeah.
And I will we'll talk about this later, but they are different. Okay. They're two different things. And so Steve was like, he started to read it, and then he was like, oh, it's not the same word, but I'm going to just pretend like it is.
It's almost like he did that thing where he didn't understand it and was just like, I just think they're the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yeah, I don't want to have to do anymore.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
And Steve says there's no documentation on her, no photos on her. And there are. I've got some stuff. Like I said, it could have been released after they did this show.
Or edited out, you know.
But I mean, he said there's nothing on her. So he believes there was nothing on her.
You're right.
And he says,
you're the boss.
Apparently, apparently somebody wanted her to be anonymous. And then Mark says, you know, I feel like she was a problem. She was becoming a problem. And so she was basically erased. Yeah.
That tracks again for that time.
Yep.
And now
she'd become a problem.
Yep.
So then, I wondered why, if Valeria's in that house with her children and she wants to leave, why can't she just leave and take the kids with her?
But how? How would she? I mean, if she didn't have money.
No, I mean, as a ghost.
Oh, as a ghost. Maybe she was keeping her there.
But they don't say anything about Paris being there still.
But Philip and...
Oh, Philip and...
Because Amy keeps saying how she encounters a male spirit who's big, who's like, get out, get out, get out. So
that's
maybe
true. We don't talk about who that is, do we? Damn.
Yeah, but that
could be any one of those guys, I guess.
That makes me think that she's being kept there.
Okay, it could be.
Or maybe the kids can't leave and she needs to stay to protect them.
Yeah.
You know.
So she would be protecting him from that guy, right?
Yeah. From that big guy who can't fit through the door, so he just doesn't go anywhere. Even though he's a ghost, he could probably go through the door. But nobody tell him that because he's trapped in there.
He's pretty sure.
He's probably too stupid to know. If only I could go through the door.
That's like those videos you see of the dogs that won't go past. They won't go outside because they think that the door is there, but it's just a screen door without the screen in it.
And so the owners have to move like they're opening the door for the dogs to go through.
Good stuff. Yeah. So they talk about the diary possibility. They don't know where it is. Nobody's found it. Blah, blah, blah. So Steve is talking about the boarding houses and how there's transient people. And Amy said she got a lot of different stories.
And it makes sense too, where she says there's people climbing in and out of the windows. Yeah. So, you know, that could make sense.
Yeah.
They were boarding people for, you know, they died for whatever reason.
Yeah. Well, she explains that sometimes a location will hold on to very traumatic and major events that have occurred and leave an imprint on the location. And with all of that stuff that was going on there and all those transient people living there and mentally ill, I can see that house has got to have some weird
juju. Not to mention Valeria's death, the two children's deaths. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they died in the house.
I don't know if she didn't live in that house. So the children wouldn't have died in that house.
Never mind.
Yeah, we'll get to it. But she spends some time in that house, but she doesn't live.
She doesn't live there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay, so, I thought this was interesting when Amy is talking to Kelly and telling her how to deal with the dreams and allow Valeria to talk to her through her dreams. She says, say out loud, it's okay to come and talk to me, but not through me,
mm-hmm.
and show me
mm-hmm.
in my dreams.
And Leah's told me something similar too. Like, you need to tell them, like, direct, like, show me what the message you have for me is. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you have to kind of give them direction.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting that she was saying, you have to talk to me, not through me.
Yeah.
Which would be channeling.
Yeah.
Which, if you've not done that before, that would be very scary.
Yes. Yes. Especially if you don't know it's happening.
Yeah. All right. So that's pretty much the end. That's what she tells her to do, is just keep talking to her in your dreams. I noted that. I thought it was interesting that Amy didn't really give her anything to do, but maybe she didn't want anything.
I don't think she wanted it. Like we talked about earlier, I think she just wanted the validation.
Yeah, I think so too. But I'm surprised that they didn't want to get the crazy man out, the big guy.
They did, and it was edited.
Yeah, that's true. The cards at the end say, Kelly continues to communicate with the woman she believes to be Valeria Gibson. Despite her endless search, the diary remains unfound. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah,
there we are.
Yeah, it was a good episode.
I liked it.
It wasn't my favorite, but it was still good.
Yeah, I liked it. I liked Kelly. I thought it was cool that she had abilities and that she could talk to Valeria in her dreams and see her story and stuff like that. I thought that was really cool.
And that she was actively trying to help her too. She wasn't like, oh, she was like, there's a diary somewhere. Yeah. I want
to
find it.
I'm going to rip a wall out to find it. Yeah. Yep. I thought that was cool. All right. Well, we'll move into research and rabbit holes. It's time for research and rabbit holes, where the facts get weirder and the ghosts get louder.
Nice.
Like our little theme song?
Yep.
Not really a theme song, but
it is now.
Okay, so I looked up all the players, the whole Gibson family. I found some interesting articles that I will link to in the show notes. If you're all interested in the story, I recommend checking out these articles. Quick reads, but really, really interesting. Okay, so Paris, I did not find much on him, which is weird. I mean, he was the founder of the town.
He's the founder of the town.
There was a lot of stuff, but it just wasn't anything that I felt like pertinent. It was just like stuff about he was born on this day and he was 90 when he died. And the death certificate said he was a retired real estate agent.
Oh, I mean, that he did found a town.
Yeah.
So I would consider that real estate.
Yep. Son one, Philip, was the first of the sons to die at Warm Spring, Montana State Hospital in 1912 after spending only 6 days there.
Whoa. 6 days? Mm-hmm. Fast.
Yeah.
Not even a week.
Yeah.
Damn.
These deaths are very suspicious to me. Yeah. But anyway, cause of death, exhaustion of paresis.
Okay.
Contributory paresis, duration 3 years. So he had paresis for 3 years. And then died of exhaustion from it.
Okay. Do we know what paresis is?
Yes.
Okay.
In it. Yes. Pretty soon.
She's coming up. Keep your pants on, everyone.
Yeah. I thought that I rearranged these.
You might have.
Because I wanted to talk about Valeria last because she was the most interesting.
I did not touch them.
I know. You didn't.
Vivian might anything. Have. Vivian was looking a little suspicious.
Vivian.
She was doing a lot of barking, which I feel like was trying to take the heat off of her.
Oh, yeah.
See?
That could be.
She's like,
I hid your shit. What the ever-loving fuck? No, I got it. I'll just look at it on the computer.
As Jordan would say, what the manga?
what the manga?
He says it. It's the funniest thing.
That's cute.
What the manga? And now when something happens... and he goes, oh, nutcrackers. There's a Melissa McCarthy commercial where she's an elf.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she goes, oh, nutcrackers. So now he says that. It's so funny.
Funny.
What the manga?
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.
Philip Gibson was sent there after 12 days. Or, sorry, 6 days. Mm-hmm. And so
he died after 6 days.
He died after 6 days, yes. After being there for 6 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So paresis is muscle weakness or partial paralysis, a reduced ability to move a body part. Hmm. And then we'll get to a little bit more, too.
Okay.
Ken, the historian, said paresis is a mental condition, but it doesn't sound like it to me. It doesn't sound
like it at all.
Yeah.
It sounds like something that would happen if you were, like, bedridden.
Yeah.
Where you don't use your muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's another word for that. Where you don't... Oh, my God.
All I can think of is necro something. Yeah, but that's not it. You're... neuropathy.
Yes, yes.
Neuropathy.
There it is.
I think it might be similar. Yeah, we are not doctors.
We are not. I'm totally kidding.
So Theodore, the one who allegedly killed his mother, also died at the same hospital with a similar cause. His was exhaustion of general paralysis, not paresis, of the insane. But then when Steve goes to read that one, he just cuts it off halfway through and goes, same thing.
Yeah. But what is paralysis of the insane.
Well, I looked that up. Theodore Gibson is the one that died of exhaustion of paralysis of the insane. Mm-hmm. So I Googled that, and it says it is known as general paresis, GPI, or dementia paralytica, which is a devastating fatal form of late-stage neurosyphilis.
Ooh.
Causing severe mental deterioration, dementia, delusions of grandeur, alongside physical paralysis, speech issues, and personality changes, ultimately leading to death. Now rare due to antibiotics like penicillin. So it's basically an old term for brain damage from untreated syphilis.
Oh, shit. Woo! Theodore? Yeah.
Both of them.
You naughty boys.
Both of them.
You were dipping your tip in. You shouldn't have been. Dipping your tip in a contaminated inkwell.
That's right. Oh, speaking of inkwells, I don't think it's the same kind they found in the wall. That one was very little.
I did not do that on purpose. Mm-mm. I just came up with that metaphor.
I love it.
Feel free to use that in your daily lives. I am not one to gatekeep.
No.
I am not a gatekeeping girly. Just give credit. Kids say. It's what the kids are saying.
That's right.
I'm hip.
That's right. I looked at TikTok today for the first time, and I have like 25 messages. I'm going to guess about 22 of them are from you. I haven't looked at them yet. So if you've sent me videos, like you haven't.
You're hilarious.
I will be looking at those later.
That's you. No rush.
I've been trying to be good and stay off of stuff like that. But I TikTok, it was like saves my life, actually. The rest of them could go suck it. But anyway, so what is the difference between paralysis and paresis, you ask?
Mm-hmm. I did ask that.
Paresis is a partial muscle weakness or incomplete paralysis, meaning you have reduced strength but can still move muscles, while paralysis is a complete loss of muscle movement or function, often called plegia, mm-hmm. like quadriplegia.
Got it.
So, enough about those boys and their
dipping
STDs.
They're stick dipping.
Stick dipping.
Can we please make that a euphemism for sex?
Stick dipping.
Yeah. What'd you do last night? I was dipping my stick. Sticking
the little stick dipping.
Little stick dipping. You know, who hasn't dipped their stick?
So Valeria, she's an interesting person. So you know how Steve said that there was no info, no articles, no photos? Well, there are, at least now. Mm-hmm. I found a nice article that has a lot of information on her. It's called More Than Just the Founder's Wife.
Nice.
And I'll put a link in the show notes.
Yep.
She was born November 30th, 1938, died August 18th, 1900. Sorry, you guys, I am all over the place in this episode. I accidentally said she was born in 1938. It was 1838, obviously, since she died in 1900. And then she married Paris in 1858, not 1958. Just want to clear that up.
She wasn't that old. Well, 52. 62.
Yeah.
So that's pretty old for that time.
Yeah, is it?
60, I mean, yeah, you know.
She married Paris Gibson in 1958 when she was 19.
That's old. She's practically an old maid.
I know.
She's lucky he snatched her up.
I know.
At the ripe old age of 19.
That's right. Her full name is Valeria Goodenough Sweat, or Sweet. I don't know how it's pronounced. And then I have her... I found her find a grave. It shows her maiden name to be Goodenough. It doesn't even have her last name. It just says Valeria Goodenough, wife of Paris Gibson, and the birthday and date.
Mm-hmm.
There is a picture of her.
Oh, yeah.
And date unknown, but it's a picture of her and just a black and white.
Mm-hmm.
She's got her hair pulled back, I assume.
In a bun. As opposed to being cut.
Looks like it's in a bun. Parted down the middle.
Down the middle.
She looks very normal.
Yeah. She's got a little brooch.
Yep.
Which is, again, very standard.
And earrings.
Time. Yeah.
That matches her brooch.
I mean, she looks very, like, of the time.
Yeah. She does. And this article says, Valeria G. Gibson has always been sort of a mystery. She was described as a longtime invalid at the time of her death and in poor health. She never attended social gatherings, and only two photos of her are known to exist.
Which is interesting, because she was described as an invalid, but yet she was running up and down the stairs and was pushed down the stairs. Yep. So,
yep, that's my problem.
That doesn't make sense.
That's where I'm having it.
I'm no doctor, but I know those two things don't go together.
That's right.
Oh, no. That's oh, geez. Right.
So shortly after Philip was born, the first son, they moved to Minneapolis.
That's where we are.
That's where we are.
Oh, my God.
So we know enough about Philip and Theodore, the two sons that lived full lives. Mm-hmm. But I wrote that I don't believe they mentioned that they had two other children, but I do know that they just vaguely quickly mentioned these two other kids. Yeah. The little girl was Helen. Mm. She died at 13 months old. And the boy was Paris Jr.
So I bet he was the first one.
He died. No, he was the fourth child.
Really?
Yeah.
Usually they name the old Paris Jr. the first one.
That's what I thought too.
He waited for two?
Yeah.
Damn.
So Philip was the first child. And then Helen, mm-hmm. and then Theodore, mm-hmm. and then Junior. Mm. So then 5 years after the Junior, Paris Junior died, 1870, she was, I put voluntold, to take care of her two younger siblings, brother and sister, because her mother had passed away and her father wasn't, quote, up to the task.
He didn't want to because that was a woman's job.
That's my first reaction. Yes. But then I'm like, oh, cut him some slack. Maybe he was sick or something. Who knows? But anyway.
You're much more forgiving than me.
I thought that first, but then I went, I don't know this detail, so I probably shouldn't. Whatever. So her younger brother and sister came to live with her in Minneapolis. I'm under the impression they were mid to late teens at the time because they went to college shortly after that. And so they were all in Minneapolis, and then, what's his toes, Paris left Minneapolis to go to Montana to seek a new fortune in 1879. He brought Philip with him, who would have been 20 at the time.
Of course, yes.
Theodore then joined a little bit later. So it was just Valeria and her siblings that she was helping with in her house in Minnesota for many years.
Which is kind of shitty.
Many years, yeah.
That's really shitty because he's basically, the dad took his two kids mm-hmm. and just was like, peace out.
Yep.
Stay here with your siblings while we go here.
Yeah.
But maybe she wanted to.
Maybe she wanted to.
Again, we're trying to give people the benefit of the doubt.
Maybe he, he was a dick and she didn't want to be around him. Yeah. Who knows?
Maybe she wanted to stay because her siblings were in college and she didn't want to leave. Or
yeah. So then they all graduated college. And so all of her siblings and her kids now married with families mm-hmm. and gone to Montana.
So everybody left.
Everybody left. She was in Minneapolis for 9 years.
Sounds great.
So that. Get rid of that mess.
Hang on. Yeah. You get all out. I'm going to stay here. Get me a couple of cats. Yeah. Maybe a dog.
That's right. So she was in Minneapolis for a while by herself. She did try to head out to move there. Mm-hmm. She went in 1885, but she was unable to stay because of her poor health. So then she came back to Minneapolis. Then she went back out again a couple years later, but again, her poor health drove her back to Minneapolis, which is interesting. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Does she need to be near her doctors or they never said what was actually wrong with her.
Or maybe she had like some sort of asthma or breathing condition and I don't know. How would they travel then? Like, are they traveling by, like, train?
Probably.
Like, by wagon?
Probably train.
I don't fucking know. The American education system is a little poor. I'm thinking they're, like, on a fucking, you know, covered wagon and they're, you know, going, like, Oregon Trail shit.
I think it's a little later than that. So,
okay, 1894, she was reunited with her husband. When did he leave to go out west?
1879.
So 1890. Oh my God. So what was that meant for 15 years without him?
Yeah. Yep.
Sounds like a good time. She was probably like, fine, I'll come.
Yeah, I'll come out there, but I'm really not feeling well.
Oh, I got to stay. Oh, my cats, they need me.
I got to go.
Yeah, back. It's like a poor health.
So here's a picture of her and her son that allegedly killed her. I'll post these.
That looks like a girl.
I know. A lot of times back in the day, even in like when my mom's siblings were born, mm-hmm. the boys, they put in dresses just because it was easier to change their diapers.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So that could be.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. Yeah. I'm just saying he looked like a girl. I wasn't shaming it.
Well,
it
looks like he's got a little bow in his hair, too. But
thank you.
I think it's just
I think it's just lighting, but it does look like he has a little like pebbles thing going on.
It does. A little doink. I call those a doink.
Oh, sure, 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 sure.
So before she moved to Great Falls permanently, which she did in, what did we say, 1894?
1894.
They built a library there in Great Falls in her honor. And she donated over 200 books to get that started.
Good job, Valeria. Yeah,
that was before she got there. And then after she got there, it got turned into something else.
Of course.
But anyway, yeah, I'm looking at the newspaper announcements of her death. And one of them said she died in one of her rooms at the Park Hotel. And it said she was an invalid for 30 years. And in the past year had been in such feeble health that her death was expected at any moment. And then this...
Wait, read the last sentence of that, because that was an... By an unfortunate accident last night, she received a shock that hastened the end by a few days.
Yeah.
Okay, but which is it? Because is she... Is her death expected at any moment? Or did she receive a shock that hastened her already quick death?
Yeah, so this...
That is, that does not make sense.
No sense.
I don't like that article.
I don't either. So then this other one says, while temporarily insane, Miss Valeria G. Gibson leaped from the window of her room on the third floor of the Park Hotel in the city at about 11:30 last night, alighting on the pavement below. She sustained severe, but they didn't put the E on, injuries from which she died 4 hours later.
Oh, I hope she was unconscious.
I do too. That sounds awful.
That sounds horrific.
But if she actually really died in the house on the stairs, then she was already dead by the time she got to the hotel.
Yeah. So that's contradicting.
This is contradicting.
What Amy thought. I mean, what Amy found.
Yeah.
And what Kelly received from Valeria.
Right. Because if, I mean, if they, if I don't know where they're getting the information that she died 4 hours later.
Right.
It sounds like they scooped her off the parking lot and then she died 4 hours later in a hospital.
Which makes me think like this is probably not, but they just went like a shovel.
Yeah.
Like scooped her up with a shovel, which I'm sure they didn't, but that's what made me. Yeah.
Anyway,
how is she? Okay. So this article says she has been an invalid for several years and has been confined to her room, but then suddenly she's able to leap out of a building.
She
leaps and alighting on the pavement below. Right.
That makes it sound like she very daintily, like
Mary Poppins got the touchdown.
One toe first. Yes. Yeah. No,
these are contradictory.
Yeah. I don't see how somebody who's an invalid for 30 years can jump out of a building.
Yeah.
That just does not make sense to me.
No, not even a little bit.
Mm-mm. So, she was 61.
Oh, I was close.
So here's a little bit more about her. Well, it just happens to be when her birthday was and whatever. Yeah. But so... Yeah, I just wrote out the whole timeline because I was getting really confused about when everybody was born and died and when they went to school and blah, blah, blah. Oh, so then the library. They sold the library to the city. And then that's when that was actually before she moved to there for good, to Great Falls for good. So then 3 years after she died, a new library was built next door and her library became a community center and a YMCA.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1961, the whole thing was demolished for being unsafe. So then I looked into the hotel and to see how close it was because they talked about carrying that body.
Mm-hmm.
I got a map here. Mm-hmm. Megan, you can see. I'll show it to you guys thing. But it's not close.
It's a 12-minute walk.
Yeah. That's not lugging
a corpse. That's not carrying a dead person.
Now, granted, the tunnels probably do not follow the streets exactly. You know what I mean? So there might be a point A to point B that goes straight across. But still, I was picturing like you're pulling it out of a tunnel and it's going to the house 2 doors down.
Yeah.
This is a long ways away. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's a 12-minute walk. Yeah. So, and again, like we said, not carrying a dead person.
Right. And they never said that more than one person did this.
Right.
They just said that Theodore did. So him by himself.
But didn't Valeria tell Kelly that a couple... I thought Valeria told Kelly a couple of people.
I seem to remember that too. But then when I was looking back, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe I just made that up in my head.
Well, then we both made it up.
I think it did happen.
We're so connected that we make stuff up together.
We have... do they call that?
Synchronizing? Synchronicity?
No, it's when two people hallucinate the same thing.
Crazy.
And it's not called double hallucination either. It's like that. Shared.
I don't know.
Shared. I can't remember.
I don't
Somebody's yelling it at us right now.
Probably AP.
Hi, AP.
Hi, AP. We miss you.
So I wanted to bring this up because It wasn't just Kelly saying this is what happened, that he killed her on the stairs. Mm-hmm. This was local lore. It was local lore and a rumor back then even.
Oh.
So it's not like this is the first we're hearing of it because Lilaria told her. This is something
which,
that
honestly kind of credits it a little bit more.
Yeah, especially if she didn't know about it.
Right, but I was just going to say she might have. Could also contribute to further disbelief because she did say she researched it.
Yeah.
So if she found that out, I'm not saying she did, but I'm just saying there's, you know, it can also both further validate and also shed disbelief.
Mm-hmm. That is true. So I did look up the house because, like I said, the address was right there. And Kelly still owns it.
Okay.
And she is a real estate agent now.
Good for her. Following in the footsteps of Paris.
That's right. And the house was built in 1890.
Jeez.
Let's see. What else can I tell you about the house?
Without you found Kelly. She doesn't live there.
Yeah, she doesn't live there. She owns the house.
Oh, okay.
She still owns the house. Here's her. See, it's showing this is the house address. Mm-hmm. This is the house. But then this is her.
Mm-hmm.
And she lives, you know.
Oh, at a different. Yeah.
In Great Falls still, but further away. And then I found her real estate advertisement, whatever, website, which is Paris Gibson Realty. And I sent her a text because her website says, I answer my phone.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't answer my text.
Maybe she only answers about real estate ads.
I'm guessing she just didn't want to talk to me.
Probably.
I told her that we really liked the episode and we wanted to talk to her. So, Kelly, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on the show.
We would love to have you on the show.
I wouldn't blame her for wanting to see what we had to say before deciding if she wanted to join us or not.
Yeah.
So that's totally fair.
Lots of guests do that.
Yeah. It's totally okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's that.
That's that.
And then next week, Megan, do you want to tell the people which one you chose?
Sure. We're doing another listener suggestion episode. This is from our bestie, Zoe.
Yeah.
We are doing Satan's Revenge, Season 4, Episode 5, which I bet is full of fluffy bunnies and kittens frolicking through
heartwarming.
Meadows. Heartwarming, just Hallmark movie-esque storyline.
Yep.
Based off the title alone.
That's what I would
assume. That's what we're doing next time. So tune in for that.
Tune in for that.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues.
Nailed it.
The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network.
The Activity Continues is not affiliated with Warner Brothers, Max, Travel Channel, Painless Productions, or The Dead Files, nor are we connected to the cast or crew. We are simply fans who recap and discuss past episodes for entertainment and community building purposes. We are not investigators, mediums, or paranormal professionals, and we do not accept or investigate case submissions. The Dead Files is no longer in production, though it continues to stream on various platforms. If you are seeking assistance for activity in your home or business, we recommend researching reputable investigators or professionals in your area and carefully reviewing their credentials and experience. Some people choose to begin by asking for recommendations with trusted local communities.